Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
What's interesting is there was the full body massage began as part of what was considered a rest cure for women at that time in the late 1800s were coming down with melancholy, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, kind of these symptoms that weren't, they couldn't say what was going on, but they did this rest cure where they would go off for a month or be at home or whatever and kind of just be in bed and just totally relax. And they would use full body massage to keep their circulation going and to assist them in this time of healing for them. The rest cure went away, but massage, full body massage in that format being on a padded table stayed.
Hey everyone, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. That was the voice of Marcy Kernes. She is the owner of Eagle's Nest Massage, and she's been in business for about 30 years. She said she has 15 massage therapists working with her. And it's a beautiful location right here in Duluth on the east side. So if you are here living or you're here on a vacation, always good to plan ahead for an appointment. But, you know, you can always call last minute, see what's up. As you hear from the snippet, we're going to talk about the history of massage in general in the U.S. and in Duluth specifically. She's going to share about her business model and kind of what sets her apart from many other massage therapy establishments. And we are going to talk about the recent happenings in Duluth. If you are familiar, we had an issue with a few massage establishments and sex trafficking. So we do reference that. We talk about it. We talk about the city council, some of the things that are being proposed, and she shares her opinions and experience and thoughts with that as well. And as usual, much more. I really appreciate her sitting down and sharing her experience and kind of making some clarifications around some of the things that have happened. I think some people who aren't really familiar with massage and massage therapy, it's helpful to have some of the clarification and understanding that Marcy talks about defined for both the massage therapists as well as those looking to receive massage. Before we dive in, I, of course, want to thank all of you who are supporting the podcast, be it sharing the episodes through Facebook, through conversations, through forwarding emails. If you're not on the email list, please feel free to go to the website, wellnessrenpodcast.com, and get on that. You'll just get a quick email each week that talks about the episode that is out and links you right to it. I do want to mention, and I will talk about this more detailed in the outro after the interview with Marcy, if you are available Thursday night, June 27th, and you're in Duluth or would like to come visit Duluth, we are having an event. It's called Listen Local, a Wellness Renaissance Podcast Party. So come and join. And again, I will share more information after that, but you can quickly find information on the website. More information will be coming in the future, so keep an eye out. All right, let's head on in with Marcy. Welcome to Wellness Renaissance, Marcy.
Oh, happy to be here.
So I'm going to have you introduce yourself and talk about Eagle's Nest Massage Therapy. And then we're going to talk about the history of massage in general, maybe a little bit in Duluth, and then some more current events, perhaps.
Okay.
So yeah, go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm Marcy Kernes. I own and am the president director of Eagle's Nest Massage Therapy in Duluth. And we were established in 1990, so we are currently in our 30th year of business in the Duluth area.
Wow.
And my other occupation, which I had for many years, was that of occupational therapy. I started out with my training in occupational therapy, graduated from the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis, and then got interested in massage and got my training for that, did both occupations for many years. And around 2000, kind of left the OT world and started doing the massage therapy business full time.
Okay. I can imagine that makes it, you know, I can imagine that's kind of a nice, easy.
You know, it was a great segue because I love OT and it was very more cognitively demanding than massage.
Okay.
So there was a nice balance because I really enjoy working with people. I really enjoy helping people. I could go to my OT job and be all about problem solving and working with lots of different people, having lots of contact with coworkers as well as patients and their family members, and then massage one person at a time. It's very, you're problem solving, but it's a whole different level. It's much slower. It's much more methodical. Mm-hmm. It's meditative, I would say, and very rejuvenating for a practitioner who's able to get into that zone while they're working with someone and being receptive to their intuition while they're working with someone and that kind of thing, which is very different than the medical field that OT is in.
Right. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then I can imagine, too, some of that would transfer a little bit, not necessarily to your work on the massage table, or maybe a little bit that it kind of does because it's just the awareness you have about how people operate in the world.
Right. You know, I mean, being in that mainstream medical model was very helpful for me starting a business because I knew what the professional ways of doing things were from that perspective. And so to have one foot in that world and one foot in the more holistic, alternative, complementary world was a great place to start, especially in Duluth, where there wasn't a whole lot going on as far as complementary modalities when I first moved here in the late 1980s.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay. So having that Bachelor of Science background really helped me basically, I would say, validate massage therapy when people were looking at, you know, my history and where I came from and what other things I was doing. So it was very helpful. And again, working in medical models such as a clinic, you get very used to professional standards and ways of being in the world that sometimes people who are drawn to complementary alternative practices don't fully embrace and don't want to. And that's totally up to them. But as far as running a business, I feel that it's served me very well.
Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit before we get into the history, a little bit about Eagle's Nest, because it is it's a beautiful house just kind of in the middle of Duluth, like in this little residential area. It's great. I love it. Like if you're traveling from out of town, you know, you get to feel like you're kind of going into a homey little vacation spot.
Right. It is. It's very inviting. We're in a residential neighborhood, although we're on a little busier street. It is a bus route in that. But it's wonderful because people come in and we renovated the building. Well, I guess we've been there 9 years now. And we totally renovated it for the business. So it's specifically set up for the business. But you come in and it feels like you're entering someone's home. And then you see murals on the ceiling. And there's just the layout is very relaxing. It's not clinical at all. We have 4 treatment rooms. And we have a staff of about 20 people. 15 of those, 15 to 16 are massage therapists and the rest are support staff. And we are very busy. We're open 7 days a week till 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon till 6 on Sunday. And it's just been a steady increase the whole time that we've been operating. I took over the full ownership of the business in 2000. Prior to that, it was my former husband, Dave Burson, and I that started it in 1990, and I took full ownership in 2000, and we have grown every year. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience, and just so happy to provide this service to our community. And we offer things that a lot of people come in and just say they haven't found anywhere else, as far as the way we work with our clients and the amount of time we give them. The extra complimentary things like hot packs, hot towels, and aromatherapy are all included in each session, and people really enjoy that. And we do that because we know it just adds so much. It's not a huge financial burden on us, but we know it really adds to the session. And then we add 30 minutes to every session so that the client can get full table time, that the therapist can be working in a manner that's healthy for them, so they actually can sit and talk to their client before they start and talk to them after they're done and really be able to help them get the best experience and be able to get feedback from them as well as give them feedback on what they found. So it's a model that I really haven't seen anywhere else that I've gone and gotten professional massage. And so, I mean, we could do a whole segment on that, kind of what massage is evolving into and what we really need to be mindful of it not becoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe let's touch on that a little bit later too.
Okay.
And I love that you're the extra time like you're talking about. I think that's fantastic. It's such a bummer if you get a massage and you have to rush out and rush in, and it takes away,
right,
you know, from the treatment, no matter if you're getting a fluff and buff or if you're getting some real work done. And everybody has their preference on what they want and what they need in the moment. And and there's just so much, I think, more understanding and respect for massage and understanding how much it helps us, especially in a world where so many of us are, you know, sitting. And we need those fluids moved around, you know, we need things moved around. And if you're very active and a physical worker, well, then you need those tissues kind of calmed.
So softened. You need to decrease all those patterns that are developing from whatever work you're doing.
Right.
Because your neurology is accommodating those movements to the point that it's forgetting how to relax. So massage is just so beneficial in so many ways. And there's been a lot of research, which started in the 1990s and continues to this day. And it's a wonderful modality. And I tell a lot of people, you know, it's the one thing that feels good and is good for you, you know. People enjoy it. They come in and they look forward to it and they get a lot out of it. A lot of clients start out feeling like it's a luxury. And then after they come a few times, they're doing it regularly. And then a couple years down the road, they'll say, gosh, I remember when I felt like this was a luxury. And now I can't imagine not including it as part of my wellness because it just does so much for me.
Right. And yeah, having sometimes somebody else, that time for yourself that you can just breathe and relax. And then somebody else getting in there and working on stuff. Right. And, you know, every massage therapist has their sort of skill set. But I know I had a massage years ago. I sprained my ankle. I tore up my ankle after falling, getting my foot caught. And I had a massage. We were on vacation and the woman grabbed my foot. And she goes, oh my gosh, what happened to you? You're holding so much here. And I didn't realize, I mean, I knew that I was still tenuous on that foot, but for her to grab it and she spent some serious time working on that. And it was, it was so fantastic to have somebody kind of pay attention and kind of go, wow, you know, there's really some stuff going on here. So yeah, it's great. And I love too that you guys have these extended hours and these extended days to basically cover everybody.
Everyone can come in. There's no excuse to say you don't have time because we got time, you know, a lot of hours that we offer. So
right. So the history, let's talk about, because we're talking about the fact that, you know, people are recognizing it as what it can do for them. And I know I had a doctor years ago who was like, you know, I talked about massage and he's like, oh, massage, that doesn't do anything, you know, and then just really poo-pooed. He's like, yeah, it feels good. And I'm like, this is after I had massage and had some body work done and felt like, you know, no, you haven't had a good massage.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Let's talk about the history, because again, I think we're thinking like this is coming in to be recognized as this therapy, which it is, and that's good, but not recognizing the fact that there's this whole history of massage. This isn't a new modality.
Right. It's been around for thousands of years. The first writing about massage that they found is both in Egypt and China, and that was 2700 BC. So it's been...
That's
the first documentation of it. So we know that it was going on before then as well. And I'm going to speak more to the development of massage in the United States because we'd be here for hours if we started including other areas of the world. But in colonial times, there were actually people who did massage next to physicians and surgeons to help the healing of people. And their name was called Rubbers, which
sounds interesting. You hurt yourself, and what's the first thing you do?
The first thing you do is you put your hands on there. And we all know that intuitively, that anytime we have something happen to us, the first thing we do is put our hands on that area. And so we all intuitively know the healing power of hands. But Rubbers, you know, rubbed an area to help the circulation and help the healing, help the flexibility of a joint, help the healing properties of that area. These were often women who didn't have any formal education, but had a natural knack with their hands for that type of work. And so that was in early colonial times that that was going on. And then in, we're going to jump a big jump to 1850s, there was a man from Sweden with the last name of Ling, and he developed what was called a medical gymnast. And in Sweden, they were doing research, and through the use of calisthenics as well as soft tissue manipulation, they were developing like better health for people, especially people doing sports. So that was kind of the first training, actual training that was going on for people getting into the work of soft tissue manipulation was back in the 1950s, and the first scientific way that it was being brought in. And it was also seen as a holistic modality because they felt that doing the calisthenics and the massage that they were doing, the soft tissue manipulation, was also healthy for the mind and the spirit and all of that. So that was recognized at that time. And then in the late 1800s, there was a physician from Amsterdam, last name of Metzer, who coined the names masseuse and masseur, which we're all familiar with, that, you know, those are old-fashioned now, but they were part of a medical model at that time. And he also developed four modalities of massage, which are still used today, and that's petrissage and effleurage, tapotement, and friction.
I remember those massage training.
So those are still talked about today. So that was the late 1800s. And then at the same time, what's interesting is there was the full body massage began as part of what was considered a rest cure for women at that time in the late 1800s were coming down with melancholy, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, kind of these symptoms that weren't, they couldn't say what was going on, but they did this rest cure where they would go off for a month or be at home or whatever and kind of just be in bed and just totally relax. And they would use full body massage to keep their circulation going and to assist them in this time of healing for them. The rest cure went away, but massage, full body massage in that format being on a padded table stayed.
Okay.
So that's kind of when that started developing, was that time. And then, you know, it was in 1943 that the American Association of Masseurs and Masseuses was developed, and that has turned into the American Massage Therapy Association that we have today.
Okay.
So that was 1943 that they actually, you know, started saying, okay, we should have specifics on training, and everything was being more formalized. And up until the 1950s, doctors regularly referred patients for massage therapy. And the 1950s came, and we all kind of know it was kind of this weird time that everyone gave up their power to their physician, and nobody took responsibility for themselves. And it was just kind of like, you know, the doctor was God, and you only did what the, you know, that was a large population going down that road. Mm-hmm. And then come the 1960s, 1970s to the 2000s, and we've got the counterculture movement, the back to nature movement, the exercise movement, the holistic movement. So all of that really got massage going. All of those movements really tapped, each one of them tapped into massage therapy at some level. So that has been a huge part of the field growing. Now, as far as massage in Duluth goes, my joke is that, you know, things start on the coast and then they come to Chicago and they crawl to Duluth, Minnesota. And, you know, I showed up here in 1988-89. At that time, Crystal McIntyre was doing Crystal Center. Her business was called Crystal Center. She was the only place in town that I was aware of in Duluth that actually was actively doing massage therapy. She was also an esthetician. And she was doing a business that was very new and to the area. And there were a couple other people, some people who, you know, there was a guy who would do massage in the locker room at the Y. And there was an old guy out in Hermantown that used to do massage in a sauna. And, you know, you'd hear these little stories. There was an older woman down in Cloquet who used to do reflexology. So there were these people that had done this, but no one was doing it real formally as a business. And so Crystal, there was also a man, Don Johnson, who was also in that realm and, you know, became part of the chamber and that kind of thing. So he had a one-room office that was just his. But Crystal was doing it, hired me. So he was the first person that I went and worked with I became a massage therapist and had another woman working there. All three of us were massage therapists and they both did esthetician work as well, which I didn't do. So that was like the first, you know, real thing happening in Duluth. And then about a year or so later, I met my husband of that time. And he moved into the area and had done lots of training out in California and wanted to open a massage therapy establishment. And that's when we opened. At that time, it was called Eagle's Nest Institute. Okay. And we were out on the Arnold and West Cheshire Road. And lots of people remember that building. And so, you know, we were definitely a new entity in the area. This was a big deal. And when we first started, people in Rice Lake Township were concerned about what we were doing because we were doing massage and they were not familiar with massage therapy at that time. And so we went to the city meeting that they had for Rice Lake Township, explained to them what we were doing and what we weren't doing. And then everyone kind of settled down and took a deep breath. And we started the first massage school in the area. So that was big. And, you know, when we started that, it was kind of like, well, you know, maybe some people sign up. And pretty soon, the first time we offered it, we had to decide where the cutoff was going to be because we had so much interest in it. So that was really a huge light bulb moment. Right. Was, wow, there's so many people that are interested in this. And most of them were middle-aged at that time. Most of them were people who'd been in a career, weren't happy in their current career, wanted to make a change, wanted to do something more meaningful for them. And so that was largely the type of people we attracted when we had our school out there at Eagle's Nest Institute. And then we also had 4 massage rooms, and we did all kinds of complimentary. We did yoga, we did tai chi. We did lots of training for the people who had been trained, you know, specialties of massage that we would bring people in from all over the country. While that's developing, you know, massage is developing and people are getting trained down in Minneapolis and that kind of thing and different places. And we ended up in 1999, around that time, selling our school to Lake Spirit College, the curriculum, to Lake Spirit College, and my former husband went with the curriculum and became the program director. And then we downsized and kind of moved around Duluth to a few different places. But in that time, now we've got a school that was developing into quite established curriculum. It's becoming more and more popular. It's largely touted as a business you can do on your own. So for entrepreneurs, it was something that was very interesting. It draws a wide variety of people for a wide variety of reasons. And it just grew and grew. But when I first started as a massage therapist, I think, you know, the training requirement in the city of Duluth was 40 hours to be licensed. And I'm pretty sure you had to be fingerprinted at that time.
Oh, really?
And okay. I will be honest here, I never went down when I first started because I thought, I am not going to go get fingerprinted. That is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So at that time, I did not you know, since then, the requirements have gone up to $500. And that really came in because of the school in town going and saying, you know, this 40-hour requirement is not enough. We need to bring this up to $500. But I think up to this time, the city has worked with people. If they don't have $500 from an accredited massage therapy school, they might have taken, well, you got this many hours from this, and you have this in your background, and you've, you know, they've been able to kind of help people piecemeal their training together to make $500. And then I believe it's always been passed by the police chief or someone in the police department that has to say, okay, this person's okay. Mm-hmm. So that has all been happening. And if you'd read an article in the paper last week, you would have been very confused because it didn't sound like there was any training requirement.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In Duluth from how it was being talked about. So now the change in licensing that's being proposed says 500 hours from an accredited school.
Okay.
But there's also a state legislation being written and hopefully possibly will be passed this fall, because Minnesota is one of just a few states in the country that does not have state licensing.
Okay.
And it is always a quandary to me as to why that is, because we are progressive in so many areas in healthcare, but for some reason that hasn't been so. And I know that Minneapolis has never had licensing. So, and that's something to be aware of for the listeners, is that in the state of Minnesota, that licensing is totally dependent on the local authority, the local city, town, township. They're the ones making the rules. So you can go out past Martin Road and you're in Rice Lake Township, and their rules may be zero need for training. So I don't know what their laws are right now, but when we were there, they didn't have any licensing for massage therapy. So anyone could call themselves a massage therapist.
Okay.
So that's kind of the history in a nutshell. Right. And, you know, when I first started, there was the Red Lace Massage Parlor over in Superior, which I was always very like, really? You know, I mean, could you have a bigger advertisement that there's something going on here?
Well, at least perhaps if you, that you're clear when you walk in the door, you're probably knowing what you're getting yourself into.
Exactly.
Which, you know, at least you, if you're going in open eyed, you're going in open eyed.
Right. I doubt they had many female clients. But, you know, I mean, it, obviously the other history of massage therapy in the United States is that of a front for prostitution. As the West was being taken over, there was a lot of men out here going across and bringing their families and that, but probably a higher ratio of men to women. And massage parlors were part of that whole scene, and they were a front for prostitution. And they were called massage parlors. Mm-hmm. So that is a phrase that people equate to massage therapy as a place of things happening that, you know, are of a sexual nature. So usually using the word massage parlor to describe massage establishments, I am very offended by, and recently wrote a letter to the editor of the Duluth News Tribune because it's been coming up on the front page of the paper, and I hope that it gets published. But it is a term, just like I would not invite someone in my home and say, let's go sit in the parlor. That term has changed to the living room. Massage parlor is now massage therapy establishment, massage therapy business, or massage therapy studio. Any of those will suffice, but massage parlor, I mean, you say that to any massage therapist, it's like, it's just
grating.
A cringe inside of you. Right. Some people have the same feeling about masseur and masseuse. That doesn't offend me as much, because that was all part of the Swedish massage movement, and they were trained and well thought of in the early 1900s.
I've never had a negative connotation in my head about masseur, because to me it's almost, that has almost been the legitimate term. Like when somebody says massage parlor, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, right? But if somebody says, oh, they're a masseuse, it's, it's a totally legit right. above board right. like in my head.
So, and I think that's the whole thing is whose head is it in?
Right.
And how did they learn about it? It's an old-fashioned term that massage therapists today just like to be called massage therapists. Right. And that, you know, is a very good term to be using when you're talking about people who are in the profession. So that's, you know, something that's kind of come out of all this. And, you know, it's sad that there was the issue of sex trafficking in Duluth. And of course, it's upsetting to the massage establishments, you know, from the standpoint of just knowing that that's happening,
mm-hmm.
from the standpoint that it's associated with what we do as a profession is very upsetting. But that being said, it is not going to have any major effect on most people's businesses because the people that are getting massage know that the business they're going to is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
We do about 700 appointments a month. We have thousands of people on our mailing lists, and everyone knows that it's a legitimate massage therapy establishment, and that's true for the majority of places, the vast majority of places in the Duluth Superior area. So the one thing I don't want people to think is that, you know, oh, well, how many of these places are being a front for prostitution? Are there more people doing this?
Right.
And have people really feel like this is, you know, happening on any large scale in the area? Because it simply, in my mind, is not. And thank goodness that this happened, that they found this out, that they shut down those three locations, that the women are taken out of there and whatever was going on.
And those three locations were by the same, they're owned by the same
by
people,
the same
right?
People.
So I think the important, you know, the important takeaway is that, you know, A, this is a story, it's media.
Right.
And it's a strange thing that's happening. This isn't the common
this
thing.
This is not normal.
Right.
And you know, and the news focuses on what's not normal.
Right. That's why it's news.
Yeah.
There's news and there's olds. The olds is that people are doing massage. They're doing it well. They're helping their clients. That's olds.
Right.
Nobody
right.
cares about that.
Right.
But then the news comes in and it's right. this thing happening. And then people kind of, if you don't know or understand. And then, you know, from my perspective, you know, you're adding a topic of sexuality into it, which freaks people out. They don't know. We have a culture where nobody knows how to talk about it. It makes them uncomfortable, even on a good day. You know, and people who are well versed in discussing sexuality will still talk about, they still feel a little weird about it. They gotta, you know.
Right.
So the average person and the news, and again, it's a thing that it gets people interested. People pay attention. You know, and I'm glad we just had a city council meeting recently and happy to see that they're listening to the massage therapists. And it's not an overreaching of, well, we have to do something to make everybody feel better.
Right, to show that we're doing something.
Right. And it's like, no, let's get real with the real situation. Don't punish the people who are honest mm-hmm. and good and doing the work. Take care of the problem.
Right.
The problem is a legitimate problem, but it's not intertwined with legitimate massage people.
Right.
This is a big deal, but I'm glad that good conversation is being had and that you guys are being listened to and being mm-hmm. able to speak your mind about it, because I think it is an important piece not to, like I said, punish the innocent and make it hard for people who are doing the right thing and people who need the therapies and need the flexibility of ours, and we can use common sense.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe just somebody who's listening to this who isn't from Duluth or whatever, basically kind of the quick version, and you can tell me what I'm missing here, mm-hmm. is that we had three establishments, like I said, owned by the same people who were bringing in women for sex trafficking. And so what people were seeing was that typically men were going into those establishments in the evening hours, in the afternoon and evening hours. And obviously they ended up getting found out. I don't quite know what happened beyond that, but
right. Yeah, they did have an undercover, I think, officer go in, and then there was some information that came through that they were forcing these young women who were Asian, they were from California, they were all living in the house. of the people who owned the three establishments, and they didn't have any transportation available to them, so they were really isolating them. They had to work long hours. They had to offer sexual services to their male clients and would get in trouble if they didn't. So, you know, the fact that they had three locations tells you there is a market.
Right.
For this type of thing.
Right.
And, you know, that's another piece that doesn't really get talked about. So that's another piece that doesn't get talked about.
Right. And I think it's an important thing to make the distinction as well, that these girls were forced against their will. Like,
right.
There's a whole other conversation about the legality of sex work and how do we deal with that? And if adults are knowingly, you know, adults do with what adults do, whatever,
right.
You know, but this is a situation where these girls were, it was against their will.
Right.
So they were being not in good conditions, not in good living conditions. So not a good situation for anybody.
Right.
So, and I think that is an important piece of the distinction puzzle as well.
Right. And so, you know, these three were found out. Now, Hermantown has made, they're in the process of making some changes because one of these establishments was in Hermantown. One was in Duluth, and there's one in Superior. I don't know. Superior or Wisconsin has a state licensing. So I'm sure they're not, which is pretty strict.
Okay.
So, you know, in my mind, it's how well is law enforcement going in and really following up with establishments? In my mind, it's pretty easy to tell from the street if a place is really legit or not. That might just be me, but there are certain things that kind of raise red flags if you're looking at an establishment. And, you know, so I hope that one of the takeaways from this is that there is better awareness and that the tools that are being developed by changing the licensing in Duluth actually get used and aren't just more hoops for people to have to jump through and then they don't even get looked at or, you know, used for law enforcement
right.
to
if we're going to add hoops, make them useful hoops,
right.
make them helpful to
right.
everybody
and I don't and I know nothing as to, you know, that discussion. So I'm just saying
right.
that's my hope.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, that I've been in contact with the counselors of the city and they've been very receptive and it's been, you know, a nice exchange. They did not come seeking my input. I did just kind of gave them my input when I found out about it.
Well, I think that's good.
And they, you know, and they've been very responsive to me through email and supportive of what I had to say and be part of the conversation. So,
nice.
But I'm very okay with what the changes that they're proposing because they are, you know, they just make sense. Yes, it's a few more things that a lot of industries aren't required to do, but the reality is our profession is being used for a front for illegal activity in some cases, and therefore those extra steps that we have to jump through, like having an ID, listing where you've worked for the last 10 years, those kinds of things help law enforcement keep everyone legal. You know, and that's to our benefit as a profession as well. It's not the way you want things to be, but sometimes, you know, you just have to deal with reality. And there's nothing in there that I felt was over the line as far as what they're asking of therapists. And like I said, there's state legislature right now, and this is all probably, you know, hopefully we'll get state licensing this year. And that's going to be even more of a requirement. I think the people will have to pass a test at the national level for the grandfathering in for people who may not reach what they're asking. So that's going to just hold everyone to a higher bar. It's going to be statewide. So no matter where you are in Minnesota, you can be rest assured. And that's all helpful also for being looked as a profession that, you know, get insurance reimbursement and things like that. Having that state licensing is helpful for all of that. Because right now, insurance companies don't want to reimburse or pay for massage therapy because if they can't be sure that that person's been trained, you know, they don't want to be putting their dollars towards that. So,
well, and I think, you know, just to go back to kind of some of the things that were a little concerning for people with the proposed ideas, which I think they're interesting points. You know, I know one of them was about having the door never locked.
Right.
Which, again, one of the nice things about massage, it is a training you can get and you can work on your own by yourself. And that's a great thing. And I don't want that taken away from anybody,
right,
you know.
Right.
And the point was made, and I was thinking about this when I was reading, and I was like, well, wait a minute. If I'm in the office, I want the door locked. I'm the one, if I'm on the table,
right,
I feel very vulnerable. And I want us to feel confident, comfortable, and safe by being behind a locked door.
Right.
So I'm glad that it sounds like they're looking at that and considering that. Mm-hmm. And again, some of it is common sense too, right?
Right.
And then the hours of operation. And I know, like you said, well, if you're advertising past 10 o'clock, you're kind of inviting maybe some, you know, questionable situations.
Right.
And I think of that from a point of a person getting body work and thinking, yeah, there's not a whole lot of times when I'm going to want something past 10 o'clock at night, but I don't want my massage therapist. I feel like we should be able to get a massage any time of the day, whatever, because it's just, we're getting a massage and that should be the way it is.
Right.
And that's a freedom we should just have. And the common sense is if you do have hours posted past 10, you might want to say, this is a therapeutic massage. We're not offering these other services.
Right.
You know, that would be the way I want the world to work. That
right.
It's just, you get to do what you need to do. And if I'm flying between, you know, say I'm landing in Duluth and I want to see my massage therapist, and the only time I can do it is 11:30 p.m. and my massage therapist says, yep, come on over. I don't want that to be an illegal act.
Right.
We both know each other. We're there. It's the time frame. I want that freedom to be an opportunity. And I think a massage place could get around some of that really easy by saying, here's our stated hours, and then, but check by appointment. And then somebody could call and say, hey, do you have any, you know, unusual hours because I have this back injury, or I work these hours. And I think there are legitimate, absolutely legitimate cases.
Yeah. That's appropriate.
Right. Exactly. And so, yeah, I don't want my massage therapist to, you know, get arrested because they worked on me at 11:30 at night because we had weird circumstances.
Yeah. And the reality is there's no police being posted anywhere that's going to do
right.
that.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's more like, you know, I think it's just tools for them to draw on to utilize when necessary, when there is that pattern happening and it's being brought to their attention. And you know, are they cross-referencing? Are they looking at the massage establishment license and all the people that are listed there? Are they all getting licensed and things like that? So I hope that that is happening and that has been happening. It brings up questions in my mind how all these Asian girls from California ended up here. I'm imagining they didn't have 500 hours of training. Mm. And how did they, were they licensed? Were the massage establishments licensed? What was that whole scene about? Those would be questions
absolutely.
That I have.
I'm very curious. I want the story because I want to understand it more.
Yeah,
you know?
That would be helpful because I would really be interested to know that angle as to how they were getting around the licensing requirements to make this legal, you know, until they actually had to have undercover people go in.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's an interesting conversation. And
well, and then so I want to ask you if you're okay with talking about this, because I think it's still an interesting aspect to the subject, and everybody has different perspectives on it, and that's totally fine. Is the whole, like you said, there's a market for this. So I'm thinking of people who are maybe now feeling weirdly insecure about, you know, maybe they're wanting to get a massage and they know it's a good thing, but they're kind of a little squicky about it. And they're like, okay, you know, even though you hear that pretty much everybody is legit and they call and they're kind of trying to get a sense of a person and who they are and what they do. Mm-hmm. Probably the good thing there is just to ask straightforward questions. But so there is a market. Is this something that you guys get calls for? What kind of happens on that end of things from your perspective, right. And how do you handle that as a legit business?
It's very rare that we get like a female client calling and questioning what kind of massage we do. Pretty much everyone. I think a big part of it is you go to someone's website. If you're wanting to know about them and how legit they are, go to their website. And there's plenty of legit good places to go to in town that scream that this is legit. We do get calls from men fishing for information, and it doesn't happen a ton, but it does happen that, you know, there'll be someone calling and they'll be, usually it's, I call it 20 questions. Once they get past like the fourth question, you pretty much can determine that it's possibly someone who's looking for more than just massage. Mm-hmm. And they just keep asking questions and they never get to the point. And so we do just will say, are you looking for sexual massage? Just to save up time on our end, because it's exhausting when there's someone on the other end hemming and hawing and trying to determine what you offer without coming out and asking it for it. So, you know, so that just clears it up. And then they don't have any problem saying yes to that if that's what they are looking for. Mm-hmm. Or they might be like, oh, no, that's not what I want. And that could be true or not.
Right. Well, but then it's, you know, there's an advantage to having them be treated respectfully,
right.
In their question. Yeah, and to treat them with respect so they don't feel embarrassed. And then it kind of also just helps the situation and makes people, if they know they're not going to get treated badly by asking that question. It's just a matter of fact of, nope, that's not what we do.
Right.
You know, thanks for calling or, but this is what we can help you with.
Right.
It helps just even that conversation, the culture,
yeah.
And helps people be able to be a little more straightforward.
Right.
And not so feeling so embarrassed or cagey or uncomfortable. And nowadays it's it's a little harder to make an anonymous phone call. Right. So
right.
You
So we encourage our assistant managers to just be straightforward if they're in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has a different comfort level.
And right.
So for some people, you know, it's very difficult. You know, when you've been around the block a few times, you just get less sensitive and you're able to just kind of deal with people from that perspective of just being straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do encourage them. To be that, we will say, you know, we just do therapeutic. When someone does call us with wanting to know that information, we're not going to encourage them to come in, because then it puts everyone in a weird place, because you're playing with fire, basically. And that's not, we don't want to put our therapist into any kind of situation where a red flag's been raised. So, mm-hmm. And there have been very few situations where we've had situations happen with people who have come in, and that's, you know, very atypical. But on occasion it does happen, and, you know, we have to end the session and walk them out and explain to them that that's not happening. Now, for a new therapist going into massage, if they're getting started, I highly recommend that they put right on their website as well as on their intake that, you know, a little disclaimer that this is totally therapeutic. There is nothing sexual about massage therapy. If there is any behavior of such, you know, your session will end and you will be expected to pay the full amount. So having something like that helps people who are looking, and it helps the therapist who is, you know, putting themselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just as isn't
confident.
Is, yeah.
They've made it really clear.
Right. It's very clear.
Yeah.
And then that just allows everyone to relax and
right.
And have a wonderful experience, because massage therapy is that. It's just, it's something that has so much benefit, and it's such a, it's, to me, it's sacred work. It is a type of work that you get to be so close with another human being, and you get to share the space in which you are helping them, whether it's just relax or decrease their muscle tension or whatever. There's a huge trust element in that. And, you know, and it's just a wonderful profession that as a therapist, the therapist gets a lot out of that work. And I think people don't really realize that it's that way. It's really that way if the therapist isn't being overworked. Mm-hmm. If the therapist is being overworked, then that goes out the window.
Right.
And then it just becomes a conveyor belt of bodies. And they're not, they're not sinking in into that place where they're getting rejuvenation from the work that they're doing. Not to say that, you know, doing hours of massage at a time, it's physically and mentally hard on a person. The average massage career is 4 years.
Okay. Wow.
So
that surprises me that it's that short.
A little something. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot of reasons for that because a lot of people get into massage not really knowing what it's about. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many students I've asked, have you ever gotten a professional massage? Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. That should be a requirement.
I've never gotten a massage.
Oh, maybe that explains my bad massage.
You know, I think it is a requirement at a lot of schools.
It should be.
I've definitely run into the situation where it hasn't been. And so that's where there's such a wide variety of people going into it for a wide variety of reasons. A lot of people think, oh, I'm going to do massage and I'm going to make $50 an hour and I'm just going to rake in money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you don't realize how much work it is for you. I mean, it's a lot
of work, and it also requires you to be a business person.
Right.
If you're going to work for your, you know, on your own.
Right.
Those are skills that...
Yes.
Usually don't go hand in hand with being a good massage therapist
and
being a good business person.
Right.
You know, they tend to kind of separate out from each other.
Right.
In a lot of cases, which is why, like, you know, Eagle's Nest, we have a wonderful group of people because they want to come somewhere where that whole business part is being taken care mm-hmm. of. They can come in and just do the part that they love doing. And that's why I still put myself on the schedule from time to time, because I miss doing massage.
Right. Well, it keeps you very present with the work that they're doing as well.
Yes.
And I think that is so important for many
Absolutely.
Of different types of jobs, is you've got to get down
and
the reality of
it,
because it could be easy to kind of forget, I think.
Yeah, and even being the person at the front desk, every time I work that position, I'm like, wow, this is a lot. You know, there's a lot coming at that front desk. It's a very relaxing atmosphere. No one coming in would realize the level of skill it requires to be there and doing everything that needs to be done.
Right. The attention they're giving, because they make it look easy.
Right, absolutely. And I get lots of people who apply for that position saying, well, I just want a nice, relaxing place to work. It's like, yeah, it is that, but the job itself can be very draining.
Right.
You know, and so I love stepping into all the positions there to just remind myself, and, you know, as the owner, you always see things you're not going to see unless you're there doing the job.
Yep.
You know, oh, yeah, that needs to be fixed, you know, that other people aren't picking up on.
Yep.
You know, little things.
No, it's so true. And I, you know, it's funny because I, one employer that I worked for, I figured out the rule was if I was struggling doing something, I needed to make him do it. Because if he did it, then he was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. We need to fix this right now. You know, but I love that you're in that. I have a lot of respect for that. We have this weird hierarchy thing, and, you know, that I hear sometimes, well, it's not appropriate for me in this position to answer the phone. And it's like, you know, I don't see that as true. I don't think it downgrades you as the professional. It means that you are wholly in your business.
Right.
I used to work for a company down in Minneapolis, and the president of the company would occasionally take phone shifts when it needed to be done and there was nobody else, he would do it.
Right.
And honestly, we had customers of our company who they commented and complimented us on that. And they're like, he's not too big for those of us who are using the company. He is
Absolutely.
Part of the deal. And I just have a huge amount of respect for that, because I think you're right. You see things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in your team player.
Right.
You're part of the team. It's not about separating yourself, because for me, a big joy for me is just having these incredible people that I work with and being part of that, you know, and getting to be just a coworker. You know, when people say I work for Eagle's Nest or I work for Mercy, that just like grates on me. It's, you know, no one works for Eagle's Nest. They work with Eagle's Nest. They work with me. Mm-hmm. This is a cooperative effort. Everyone works hard. Everyone, you know, does a good job of bringing their best forward. And we're always looking at how to improve ourselves, both personally and professionally, and as a business. That's just part of our culture. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful place to be and work. And I feel so fortunate that I get to be happy to go to work every day and that I never feel like, you know, oh, I have to go to work. Now, there are jobs like I was there on Easter Day washing windows because it's the only day, one of the few days we're closed. We're closed on holidays and we didn't have anything really happening. And my husband was working, so I said, I'm going to go wash windows at Eagle's Nest.
Right.
I can crank up the tunes and
get it done. Right?
You know, I mean, so it's a small business and mm-hmm. that's part of...
That's real life.
It's real life. Mm-hmm. It's part of having a small business. And it's been an amazing journey and I'm very fortunate and blessed. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey that I plan to continue for a long time.
Businesses could take a lesson from how often do they hear, and I know this is a cultural thing, so it's not something you can use as a true meter mm-hmm. of when people say, I work with X or I work for X,
right.
Because I, you know, that would be like one of those review questions of, I hear you say you work for us, but I want you to say you work with us. What would it take to do that?
Right. Yes.
Talking about your training. So I want to get back to a little bit to the actual, like the building and the business you run, because
sure.
you've got some cool things we haven't talked about.
Right.
So I love that you, from being in your place, that you have a treatment room or a room in your lower level that the massage therapists can trade with each other. So they are
right.
getting that work
right.
done. I love that you promote that, because I think that's one of the mistakes I made when I was doing massage mm-hmm. is that I never got a massage. I never had anybody take care of
yeah.
me. Right. And after a while you slightly get resentful.
Yeah.
You don't want to be, but
yeah.
you kind of feel like you're like, I need this so bad right now.
There's nothing worse than doing a massage on someone when you yourself are in pain.
Yeah.
That's very difficult. But it's so important for massage therapists to get massage, because you lose sight of what you're offering to your client. And, you know, we talk to our clients about why they should be getting regular massage. And if we as massage therapists aren't getting regular massage, we can't really speak to that truthfully. And there's a lot of benefits that come from getting regular massage, like once a month or more, compared to the occasional every 6 months or once a year massage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an accumulated benefit. And so the therapists get to experience that. They get to experience what a wonderful gift they're providing through their work. Plus, they get to pick up modalities and things from their coworkers, because as we all know, every therapist is different.
Mm-hmm.
Every therapist brings something different to the session. And we have developed certain things that we train our therapists to have in every session, specific things. But beyond that, everybody's got their own style that they do. And so by them working with each other, it's a wonderful continuing educational opportunity, as well as them getting massage. Because I can't tell you the amount of things I've picked up over the years by getting massage from other people
mm-hmm.
that I then incorporate into my sessions that I'm doing on people.
Right.
And that treatment room, which is in our office level, which people don't see when they come in, is specifically for the therapist to trade, so they can trade as much as they want. It's also an educational space, so we do have the ability, we're connected to the internet, so we have a television in there, and we can watch different trainings in a DVD player, and so we do have trainings in there for continuing ed as well. Huge part of doing massage therapy is doing continuing ed, because if you do not do continuing ed, I tell people, you know, if you only learn 10 songs on the piano, how long are you going to enjoy sitting down at the piano?
Mm-hmm.
If you only have 5 tools to build a house, how fun is it going to be, and how good of a house are you going to build?
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much out there for massage therapists to learn, and the more you can go down that path, the more enjoyment you're going to have, the better your clients are going to receive. The sessions that they receive are going to be just that much better. And it's just a win-win for everybody. But, you know, human nature is such that, well, you know, I've got a fully booked schedule. I don't need to do anything else. So, you know, so we really, as a business, enforce people getting continuing ed. And that's part of our whole, how we work as a company, is we require people turning in continuing ed and showing that they're doing continuing ed, because
keeps them fresh.
Yeah, it keeps them. It does. It keeps them fresh, keeps them interested. And it's amazing how when you do learn something new, it's just inevitable that the, out of the next three people you work on, you, someone's going to show up on your table that's like, oh, this is the perfect person to do what I just learned and work on that from that perspective. So it's amazing how when your skill level goes up, those people will come, you know.
It's interesting, that you're promoting and continuing ed, and everybody, of course, having their own style. And it's, I think back when I was doing massage and in my massage training, I knew people who were taking it from like the business college and a few other places, and they were getting training that was so the antithesis of what I was getting and what I believed to be good massage training. They were getting the 50-minute massage, and the brag was, I can end my stroke when the timer that I'm not looking at hits 50. And I would listen to that and go, that sounds like torture to me, you know, putting it in that 50-minute time crunch. And I think we've gotten away from that more. You know, I don't really know what a lot of places are doing, especially like in Minneapolis. I know here people tend to really be not so, that I know, are not so spa 50-minute focused. It's about the therapy. It's about what you're getting out of that and what you're giving to the client. Which is great. So I love to hear that you're doing that. And it like you, I mean, obviously you've got the longer appointments and things like that. So it's more client driven. So that's fantastic. Yeah. So for some, you know, I'm just thinking of somebody who I've known people in various places of massage experience. I've had people who have heard really bad stories about 50-minute massages, and they never go get one because they don't think it's going to be helpful for them. Right. And to know that there's options and that the landscape is potentially changing, and that there's just other people out there doing different things.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing is that there is this element of corporate massage coming in.
Yes.
And
that makes me nervous.
That's the piece that really, it makes me nervous, because it really takes massage and puts it in a realm that I don't, you know, for one thing, it does, it offers an opportunity for people to get massage at usually a lower cost. So it does fit a niche in that realm, just like we have cost cutters for cutting people's hair.
Right.
We also have really good, you know, high, I don't want to say quality, you know.
But high-end salons,
yes.
whether that's quality or cost.
Salons that give you a different experience. Same thing, we have fast food restaurants. We have, fine dining. So from that perspective, there's such a difference in places and what you will receive that is the perspective that people need to understand, is that go in and look at people's websites. Find out, is this a 50-minute massage? Are they calling it an hour? Is it actually 50 minutes? You know, the one thing that I see so often is, yeah, I just was in Montana, had a massage at a well-known hot spring spa out there, and the session ended. I never saw my therapist again.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that's been more typical when I go out and get massage. Now, I don't get a lot of massage in Duluth, and I always tell myself I should. But I kind of feel like I'm a secret shopper.
Right?
You know? And I hate telling people I'm a massage therapist, because then they want to talk shop.
Mm-hmm.
And talking during massage to me shouldn't be happening. You know, so that's always on my to-do list, to go around and get more massage around the Duluth area to see what's really going on. And that's the one thing with Eagle's Nest, is we're just a grassroots place. We started out with me not having I worked at Crystal Center for a year. My former husband hadn't worked anywhere. And so we were coming at it totally from the therapist perspective, and neither one of us were business minded at all. I mean, it was very trying in the beginning. The whole development of Eagle's Nest has been from such a different perspective. Getting into some of the things that I think we were talking about earlier before we got interrupted, we also have the whole urban farm on our property, which is very interesting for people. And a lot of people don't realize that that's there, but we had a large yard behind the building that we decided to develop into an urban farm. And so we have all kinds of gardens back there, and we have chickens, and we have a garden club and a chicken club as part of our staff way to teach people about sustainability, because green choices is part of our core values for the business. And so just getting people familiar with gardening and familiar with taking care of chickens, of which we knew nothing about when we started, so we've all learned a lot. And then there's a nice patio back there for people to sit down before or after their session. And, you know, it is very unique to our setting, and people really enjoy kind of walking back through there either before or after their session just to have a little quiet time when the weather's nice.
Right. Well, what a nice way to end your massage. Mm-hmm. Just go kind of hang out and be in the place. Right. And yeah. And that reminds me, you and I had a conversation before, and I was just thinking of your statement of the kind of the place to be. You also welcome that in your waiting area. If you come early, it's no big deal. There's beautiful places to sit. There's books to read. If you're a consistent person to come, you can put your little bookmark in the book and you can pick it up where you left off next time. And you welcome that. And I love that, because I think so often we are hurt. We're so hurried in life, right? And you get to the massage place and, you know, not everybody can have the waiting room you have, and that's fine. No problem. But man, how cool is it to take advantage and go, well, you know what, I'm gonna hang out and I'm just gonna like be for half an hour and sit, and that's okay, because you're not rushed and you're not trying to just get there on time, and you can have your little cup of coffee. Right. And I love that too, because I think it just promotes the whole vision of the picture of what that can be. It can be, you can really cut that time out for your self-care time.
Mm-hmm. And we have some people that will sit down after their session and just have an extra cup of tea and just relax for a while before they decide they're ready to leave. So that's fine too. So
yeah, get out before you go into the big, crazy, busy world.
Let yourself, you know, go in softly versus just walking
well,
out. Right,
and
away.
Letting the work settle into your body sometimes. You know, I have had the experiences of having a great massage and then having to get up and go and move, and you feel like you kind of lose the ground you just made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
What else haven't we talked about? Oh, I wanted to mention this because I think this is also awesome. You have a room that is accessible for people in wheelchairs.
We do. We have our first floor treatment room is available. We also have a ramp coming to the front door. Unfortunately, there is a little lip at the front door, so if people are in a wheelchair and by themselves, they can just give us a call and we'll be there to help them up that one little lip to get in the front door. Oftentimes people have someone with them or that kind of thing, but we do have, you know, a large number of people coming in wheelchairs and utilizing that first floor treatment room. We just always ask people when they're setting up their appointment to let us know that they are not going to be able to do stairs because our three other treatment rooms are up one flight of stairs.
And to make sure they get that room.
Yeah, we want to make sure that they get it. So, So some of the differences Eagle's Nest from other establishments is, you know, we schedule that additional 30 minutes of every session. So even if you're coming in for half an hour, you are on our schedule for an hour so that your therapist can sit down and talk with you before your session, find out where the areas of stress are, what's going on with you. And after the session, they're going to ask you to stay in the room. Once you're dressed, to crack open the door, they'll step back in with a glass of water and talk to you about what they found, find out, you know, what you really enjoyed about the session. Is there anything you'd want differently next time? Maybe set up a plan. What are some things that you can do to continue you know, decreasing your stress and make the most out of the session. And then we also offer complimentary hot pack, hot towel, and aromatherapy with every session. And that is something that is just not done. A lot of most places will charge extra for that. That is something that people really appreciate. And from our end, it's not a huge cost. It adds huge value to the session for the client. And we want them to come in and have an experience that is beyond what they're expecting. Mm-hmm. That's really my goal as a business owner, for my clients to come in and go, wow, this was amazing. I also want the staff to come in and be as happy to come to work as they are to leave work.
Right.
So those are kind of the two rules that lead me as a business owner.
And that's nice from a client perspective, too, where you're kind of not feeling that sort of nickel and dime of somebody saying, oh, well, if you'd like that, it's $10 extra. Right. And it just kind of feels, it feels about the money and not about the relaxation.
Right, right. Exactly.
You know, right. And you offer real-time massage, meaning that in the sense that if you get, say, you're getting a 60-minute massage, you're getting a 60-minute massage.
Right. Yeah, we don't cut any corners off the session for the time that we talk. And it's funny because some people are used to that. So you bring them to the room and they're like starting to take their clothes off while you're sitting there trying to have this discussion with them. And you have to educate them that this is not part of your massage time.
Right.
That will start when the massage starts. Right now we're just talking, and we're not going to be taking this off of your time on the table, because a lot of times that's people's experience, mm-hmm. that, you know, that from the time they get in the room, the clock is ticking.
Yep.
And so they want to get on that table as fast as possible.
Yep.
And I really encourage therapists who are starting out or maybe even working now, you know, I encourage people to allow people to have that time. You can look at things from a dollar perspective, and that's generally why the time gets shortened, and I realize that, but you are doing more harm to yourself and to the whole experience of the clients than you realize, in my mind. That's, you know, my opinion.
I'm going to be a lot more loyal to a therapist who's going to sit down and talk to me before and after, who has concern about my experience, rather than the kind of cold, you know, not open to hearing or talking about it. Because really, from the perspective of a massage therapist, you can learn a lot from your clients and their feedback, and you don't get that feedback. A client is, what I learned in massage school, they're typically not going to tell you they're unhappy and that they're not coming back.
Absolutely.
They're just never going to come back, and you're never going to find out why.
True.
And from a therapist standpoint, to know what somebody, because sometimes there's things that are so easy to fix. It's like, you know, on this part of my body, the tension is, or, you know, the pressure was just a little too much. And if you don't have room and you don't open the door for somebody to say, everything was great, but man, when you hit this area, could you just go a little lighter? They'll just never come back because of that minimum thing.
Right. Or maybe the room was a little chilly. Or maybe, you know, I mean, there could be a multitude of things going on.
Right.
And to offer them, is there anything that could be different next time, is a pathway for them to talk about it without feeling like they're complaining.
Yes.
And no one wants to complain to someone who's just spent an hour working.
Exactly.
I understand that, you
exactly.
know, but giving them that little window to say, well, next time I love the hand massage that you did. It just felt so great. So if you could spend more time on my hands, that'd be wonderful. You know, great. We're going to write it down. We take notes on every session, and we always look at previous notes so that we can have that consistency from session to session. And I will say also, the one thing that I've come to realize is, if people aren't taking that time, to me it's almost a distinction between being a massage technician versus a massage therapist.
Mm.
Because to do true therapy, you have to have a conversation with the client. And that conversation with them at the end, when they finish their session and you're sitting with them, is as important as sitting down with them at the beginning and talking to them. And that is massage therapy for me. But when you do not get that follow-up conversation at the end, basically someone's going through their routine and there's not any feedback going on. Mm-hmm. And that you're not getting feedback from them about, you know, I mean, it could be helpful to know that your right shoulder is, you know, an inch and a half higher than your left shoulder. Right. And, you know, here, maybe there's some things you need to look at your computer space setup that is causing that. I mean, there's simple things that people do not see about themselves that a massage therapist can give them really valuable information mm-hmm. to help them understand a little bit more of what's going on with them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It can be a great tool.
Yeah. And as a therapist, building that rapport with your client and having that relationship is so important. You know, and I realize there's places where you're, you know, at a Hilton spa or whatever, and everyone that's coming in is on vacation.
Right.
Those are different scenarios.
Right.
That's, you know, that's a whole different deal. And you're not going to get a follow-up there, you
right.
know, in
well,
general.
Right.
There's no place that I've ever been like that. You know, there's always room for improvement.
And if somebody has only had their massages at the vacation Hilton spas, I would highly recommend to go have a massage at a place like Eagle's Nest for the sake of it might be such an incredible different experience.
Right.
That, you know, and you can get some gems on those vacation things too. I mean, there can be some amazing people.
I've had amazing massages in massage tents on the beach in Mexico from people that, you know,
they
do not speak English.
Yeah.
And,
right.
But man, they know how to do a good massage. Right. And just, it's so varied. So looking at people's websites, looking at who the practitioners are, getting a sense of who you're making an appointment with is really helpful mm-hmm. for people. We all want someone, that's a really close space to be working with someone. So we want someone that we can look at and see and read about and see, oh, okay, this is someone that I feel like I can relate to. You're going to have a better session mm-hmm. with someone that you feel is relatable than someone that you may not feel that way. You know, and everyone's different. It can be very subtle, and maybe the person you don't think is relatable would be the perfect person for you. You know, you never know.
Right.
But sometimes just going through that extra time as you're deciding where to go, deciding where you want to put that time, taking that extra time to do a little homework before you set up your appointment can be helpful.
Right. And I want to have you give your contact information, but the one thing I do remember that we didn't talk about is that you have pregnancy tables.
We do. We do. We have all of our tables are pregnancy, which means that there is a cutout in the table that we take out and then we put a sling in there so that the woman can lie face down, being, you know, full term, and still get the full back of her body done in the way that she would normally get a massage. Some women just like to come in so they can lay, you know, if they're stomach sleepers, they're just so happy to be able to be in that position.
Let me take
for a
nap.
While, you know, they just love it. But yeah, we see a lot of pregnant women and, you know, we have those tables available. We also have what's called a body support cushion system for people that might just have a little baby bump that helps support them a little bit better than the sling can be a little bit almost too much if they're not big enough yet. So we've got everything that they could want, and it's a wonderful experience for moms to be to come in and get some TLC.
Yeah, and be comfortable where they can really relax, because
yeah.
my gosh, the amount of shifts and changes your body is going through,
right.
and you got this little being that's hanging out the front, and
right.
your back has got
yeah.
a lot of stress
yeah,
going
there's
on.
There's a lot
there.
Going on there, and there's a lot going on, and it's just, it's always such a blessing to have someone come in, and, you know, I'm always honored to work on pregnant people and women and share that with them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless you can think of anything else.
I think we've covered a lot.
Okay,
I'm hoping
okay.
my car doesn't have a ticket on it. But if it does, it'll be well worth it.
Well, give us your contact information. Where do people find you? How do they find you on
Absolutely.
The web?
Absolutely. So, well, we are located at 1114 East 9th Street in Duluth. So basically on the East Hill side between downtown and the colleges. is a good way to visualize where that is. Our website is eaglesnestmassage.com. Our phone number is 218-625-2353. And, you know, people can schedule online. We have that service available. People can go on and see all of our therapists that are working at Eagle's Nest. So we have that very well laid out for people. And we have someone answering the phone all the hours that we're open. So if you do get a machine, you just leave a message and they'll get back to you, usually within 10 minutes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Judy. It's been a pleasure to be here and to talk with you. I really enjoyed it, and I just appreciate the opportunity so much.
Oh, thank you. This is great information.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can connect with Eagle's Nest Massage at eaglesnestmassage.com. You can make appointments there. You can also, of course, give them a call. But on the website, you can learn about the therapists as well. And save the day, June 27th. It is a Thursday evening happening here in Duluth. I am so excited to be doing this. I have wanted to have some sort of party gathering, get to know each other event for a really long time. And with the help of a few supportive voices, now feels like the time. So please keep the date open. Again, Thursday, June 27th, and it's going to be at the Zeitgeist in Duluth. It's going to be in the Zeitgeist atrium. You can get tickets on the website currently on the Wellness Run podcast website on the left side of the screen. A lot of details, more to come. This is kind of in the beginning stages, but it's here, and we're just super excited to be doing this. This is a chance for me to celebrate all of you folks, the people who have been guests on the podcast, the listeners, the supporters. I love having an opportunity to meet and talk to the people who listen to the podcast. Really, I spend a lot of time sitting behind a computer and creating this thing, and then poof, it goes out into the world. And that's kind of all I know. Like, yes, there are statistics of how many listens we've had and various things, but I really value being able to talk to somebody who's listened and got something out of it, who has left a comment on the website or on Facebook or shot me an email, or, you know, from hearing from the people who have been on the podcast. I've had some really great feedback that goes beyond getting new clients, but how they think about their business or how they've done particular things. So those things are really amazing and wonderful. And this is just a great opportunity to bring people together and share in that fun and excitement. And by that time, we'll have over 80 episodes. So also a pretty cool accomplishment that I want to celebrate for myself as well, because, you know, it's taken a bit of stick-to-itiveness to get this far. So it's a great opportunity. I'll see you there. Let's fill the zeitgeist. On that note, again, thank you for everybody who has been supporting the podcast and sharing the podcast and becoming a Patreon member to support financially as well. And please remember, if you would like to support the podcast, wellnessrenpodcast.com. You'll see it on the left side of the screen. You can look at the various levels, but a dollar a month makes you a supporter and a helper for the work that I'm doing. And for that, I am grateful. Again, don't hesitate to share the podcast on social media with your friends. And if you are an Amazon shopper, you can go to the wellnessrenpodcast.com website and you will see the support the podcast page. And when you're going to Amazon shop, you can make that your gateway into Amazon. And then whatever you purchase that day, no cost to you, but a little portion of that does go into the Wellness Renaissance bucket. So thank you for those who have taken the extra clicks to do that. We really do appreciate it very much. If you're new to the podcast, you can find all of the 75 plus episodes at wellnessrenpodcast.com. If you click on the title, you're going to get all the notes and information about that guest. And don't forget to connect on Facebook, where we post the episodes each week as well. That's facebook.com/wellnessren, R-E-N. Have a wonderful week. Be well. And what decisions have you made for yourself today to help keep yourself healthy and well? See you next week. And until then, may you continue to find the pieces that fit wonderfully as you build your health and wellness puzzle. Bye-bye.